husbands and wives have a solemn responsibility to love and care for each other and for their children. Children are an heritage of the Lord. Parents have a sacred duty to rear their children in love and righteousness.
We welcome you to Gospel Solutions for Families on the Mormon Channel, brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I'm Matthew O. Richardson, Second Counselor in Sunday School General Presidency. Today we will be discussing strengthening families and marriage through traditions. I'm joined today with Jean A. Stevens, who is the first counselor of the primary general presidency. Welcome, Jean.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
It's always a pleasure to have you, and I am looking forward to learning from you, your experience, and the things that you have learned through your calling.
Well, I'm learning a lot. I can say the learning curve is straight up for sure.
You know, isn't that the truth? That's one of the fun things about serving in the kingdom of our Father in heaven. Regardless of where we serve, it is a learning experience where we learn a lot about ourselves and we learn a lot about other individuals. And so I'm grateful that we can draw upon your experience and the things that you have and are learning.
Thank you. I'm so glad to be here.
And we're also joined by Linda K. Burton, who is a member of the General Board for the Relief Society. We welcome you, Linda.
Thank you.
It's exciting to have you. And once again, I'm excited to learn from you. This is the thing I love about the type of programming we have here for Gospel Solutions. We're drawing upon many individuals so we get different perspectives. And also we create a kind of a net where we can gather a lot of different opportunities of experiences from many people. So it's a pleasure to have you here today.
Thank you. I'm looking forward to learning from all here today, too.
To start us off, when we're looking at this concept of traditions and family traditions, this is almost in some ways stepping upon sacred ground for some individuals. It's like, don't mess with my tradition. These are my traditions.
Yeah.
And then you almost feel like, holy cow, you can't do that. You can't eat that at this holiday because that's what my family does. And I kind of jest about that, but only in a way, because I think that this is the beauty of this, is finding sacred elements that draw families, individuals, and marriages together. And I love that aspect. It's not just something that's repeated that makes it a traditional element, but it's something that is almost in the sacred ground where it's a drawing thing. What do you think about that?
Oh, I think you're exactly right, because what you do as a family becomes your identity as a family. And it separates you from other families, and it's special, and just the relationships you develop, it all speaks to who you are and who you want to be. So it is kind of sacred ground, as you said.
You know, and you said something there that I really like. It's about the relationships that we're building. And I think that that's really at the heart and the center of all of these experiences, is how do we build relationships? There are a lot of people that can go to Disneyland every February, for example, and that doesn't necessarily mean that that event will build a relationship. However, that event can be a means to building relationships. And that's at the heart and center of this. It's an intentional experience where we do repeated experiences or meaningful experiences that enhance relationships with each other. And that becomes very important. Linda?
My daughter-in-law had a little sign on her when she was a student at BYU. And it was glaring. Right as you went in her door, it said, "The purpose of this task is to strengthen the relationship." And I thought, what a beautiful thing. And that applies to traditions as well. When we do something for a purpose, we're strengthening the relationship between husband and wife, parents and children, and the Lord, if we are gospel-centered in those things that we repeat.
That's so good. Gospel-centered becomes a critical element, as we can talk about the fringes of gospel principles and then not get to the heart or the core of the gospel itself, which is always centered on doctrinal elements that bring about eternal truth, which brings about eternal life. And so I like what you're saying here. And so if we're purposeful, or I like the word, and if my children were here, they would roll their eyes and start to mouth as I am saying things, because they've heard this so many times. I love the word intentional. That's become something that's really key to me, especially as I've grown older. It really became important to me when I was married and then started having children. Not just allowing things to happen, but find a way to be intentional, purposeful, as you were saying, Linda. Having a purpose, and the purpose of the task, the purpose of why we're doing this, or sometimes it's, we need to improve here. What can we do to improve our relationships? Does that make sense?
Oh, totally. When you say the word intentional, it gives such context to what you're trying to do, that things just don't happen by chance, but you are thinking about it and trying to make something happen in your family and figure out a way to make it happen by doing something intentionally.
Now, I don't know if you intentionally said it in that order, but I love what you're saying, Ann, is thinking about it and then doing things, trying to make things happen. Is I'm guilty of this, as I fear in family life it comes at us at real time, but it feels like it's coming at us at light speed. And at least for me, especially in parenting, sometimes I'm feeling like I'm doing most of my parenting by the seat of my pants. It's like, okay, my parents, they knew all the answers to every question. And I feel like, okay, I didn't even know that was a question. But I love the aspect of thinking about, pondering, considering. Think of the gospel implications of that. We are a gospel of pondering, mm-hmm. of thinking. Thinking, pondering, seeking the opportunity to have the Spirit work upon us, even in simple family life experiences, to be able to help us to think, to know what to do, and then to act. Wow, that was really good, Jean. Linda?
Well, I think in the gospel, too, we're never stagnant. We're always growing, and that's the same with family life. What worked when we had 2 and 3-year-olds doesn't work as teenagers sometimes, and sometimes we have both of those ends of the spectrum, and then we move on, and now I'm in the grandparenting stage, and we're rethinking constantly. Well, this used to work when we had small children at home, but now that we're in a different stage, we have to rethink with all the numbers involved now.
That's such a good point, because sometimes, especially with traditions, what takes place is we keep doing the same tradition because it's a tradition. We have to do this. But if it's no longer working in the sense of in strengthening relationships, bringing people together, connecting them, then I like what you're saying is maybe it's time to rethink the event to make it more traditional in the sense of connecting, intentional for the purpose. I find that so many people, I deal with a lot of university age students, and they are chugging through their lives on decisions that they made when they were 12. And those that could be good, but some of them are saying, I still want to be an astronaut or I want to be a baker. And they're like, you know what? I found I hate baking, but I said when I was 13 I would be a baker. And what was very good for those years in the developing experience has now changed, and we have changed, and they're afraid to start to chart new courses. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yeah. I think it's helpful, too, to let children be a part of the process of deciding what we're going to do, because sometimes they have these amazing ideas. And if you can help let them be a part of the, okay, I'd really love for our family to do this, they are invested in it and they're much more likely to want to do it.
You know, that's such a good point. And as a matter of fact, I think it's a parenting point that sometimes is overlooked is when doing what you're saying is allowing individuals to be part of things. That's really this concept of teaching and learning. It's helping children understand why we are doing things in the home, not just, okay, let's plan a vacation, but sometimes it's, here's what we'd like to experience. My mother-in-law is really good about this. Sometimes she'll say, I would like to have an educational experience with our family. And she'll say that. And the first time I heard that, I thought, that is the weirdest thing. And there's a part of me saying, oh, I don't want to do it. I want to go swimming. I want to do something that's fun and that's fast with wind blowing through my hair, you know, kind of a thing. But one of the things I learned from that was is what you're saying in a sense is she was bringing the family in a counseling setting in a sense of here's what I would like to accomplish. And then the point was, now, how can we do that? And gathering ideas and really wonderful, fruitful things came out of that. Because we knew the intent. And I think sometimes as parents, we just expect our family to pick up on why we're doing things. And the sad part is the most important part, the meaty part, is often not communicated to the family of here's what we're trying to do.
Mm-hmm. I was thinking, too, that in addition to including the children, we as parents need to be the leaders. And we need to apply those leadership principles. You know, we need to seek spiritual guidance and revelation. We need to include our Heavenly Father and as well as each of the family members in making something special happen and counseling together. What a marvelous leadership principle that is in the home.
I agree. When we talk about principles of tradition, sometimes they are extended from our experiences when we were growing up, and then it becomes part of our family, and then we pass it on to grandchildren, etc. I kind of laugh about this, as rubber spatulas are an important part of our kitchen accessories. And I remember asking my wife why it had to be this shape and stuff. She goes, oh, that's because that's the right shape. Where did you learn that was the right shape? From my mother, who learned it from her mother, et cetera. And so in some ways, that might be a traditional element or a pattern of habit. And other situations, they emerge. And I don't want to convey to those who are listening that everything is preconceived and we've developed. Some things just happen, and then it happens so well that we repeat it. Mm-hmm. And I love this, and this is where I think the gospel informs. I love it how the gospel uses traditions in the gospel setting. We call them rituals. And the reason I like that word is simply because a ritual is a meaningful experience. It's an intentional experience that is repeated typically in a specific way. But here's what I like about the word of the connotation of rituals is, but it is connected with the meaning. If you remove the meaning, it no longer has power. And so I think that there's at the heart of family traditions, it's more than just sipping hot cocoa at a specified time, but it has meaning connected to it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it really does. Part of the meaning comes from what is happening as you do it and the experience you're having and the relationships and the love that grows in a family, whether it's in a marriage situation or with your children. There is added power and love in your family when there's a relationship involved with what you're doing.
That's good. And it's connected to that experience. Mm-hmm. So event connected to relationship. And the process is a powerful melding of individuals into one. I can't help but think, and this is in no way to take away from the sacredness of this experience because it is a deeply sacred experience, but think of the sacrament. The sacrament is a ritualistic experience that is repeated every single week. Some people might say, as a matter of fact, I've had non-member friends say, oh, is this your tradition where you do this each time? And I'm thinking, oh, well, yeah, it is a tradition, but it's a ritual. It's a sacred ordinance. But when it's done properly, connected with that sacred meaning, that tradition, that ritual with that meaning, it does what you are saying is it brings relationships and makes them meaningful and whole. Now, I am not suggesting that our Christmas traditions are in the same venue of sacrament, but in some ways they may very well be when they're constructed and they're connected to meaningful purposes and they bring about elements that bring us closer to God and closer to those around us. It's really a powerful thought. And so I think when you were saying about this or speaking about this, Gene, I couldn't help but think of learning this. When my oldest son served his mission in Japan and he left, it came time for Christmas. And we said, okay, it's time to start doing our Christmas things. Well, let's go buy our Christmas tree. Our younger children saying, we can't do that. We can't do that. And I'm like, why can't we do that? Well, Zachary is not here. And I'm like going, oh, come on. I know Zach would like us to have Christmas. And they're going, no, we can't do this. Well, let's go do that. We can't do that. All our famous Richardson family Christmas traditions, I started realizing were actually sacred, almost ritualistic experiences because they weren't about cocoa and they weren't about Christmas trees. They were about family experiences of playing tag in the Christmas lot, Christmas tree lot, of setting this up together. And we actually had to write to my son and say, no one will do Christmas. They're boycotting Christmas because you're not here. And then he wrote back and said, I would love to be there, but where I am at is where I really love being. So please have Christmas. Please do those things, and I will be there in person, and I will be thinking of those. And all of a sudden it dawned on me, this is more than just something we do at Christmas time. This is a family ritual, a tradition, an intentional experience that brings us together.
Now, sacred. It's so sacred.
It was sacred. You know, when I think of the word sacred, it comes from the Latin of sacra, which simply means to make holy. Is to make holy. And so that's the root word for consecration. That's the same word for sacrifice, it's you do something to make it holy. It's the same word when you start to think of sanctuary. It's something that makes us holy. So we make our homes a sacred place. In other words, it's a holy place where relationships are connected to God and to each other. Way to go, Linda. That's a good word. I think that's right. Is when we find traditions that we repeat, they are sacred because they bring us closer together. But here's the kicker, and this is what I love about the gospel of Jesus Christ. It brings us closer to our Father in heaven, and it allows that to be part of us as well.
I was thinking of one of my favorite scriptures. My husband and I love this scripture from 2 Nephi 5:27. It says, we lived after the manner of happiness.
Yeah.
And as I think about that in connection with this, I'm thinking that people, you know, Nephi was very intentional about the things he did for his people. As you read the things that happened before then. They built a temple. They were industrious. They did all these things very intentionally. And the result was they lived after the manner of happiness. And you've just described what that feels like, what that looks like. It's a sacred, holy, wonderful thing.
Good point. As a matter of fact, I like where we lived after the manner or we live after the manner of happiness. I think some of us, myself included, sometimes I'm waiting for life to happen, you know, and I'm thinking, okay, I got married, so married things are going to happen. I'm going to have the coolest family traditions. Okay, where are they? Well, they'll start any time. You know, and this is where that intentional part comes in, is living after the manner, seeking happiness, finding ways to develop happiness in our marriage and in our relationship with our children and creating sibling relationships. When we're seeking that and living after that, I believe the Holy Ghost will guide us and direct us, and it will bring to mind things that will help us to do that. That's such a great point.
I think another point in that is sometimes, you know, we do fall short in being intentional, but sometimes we get it right accidentally.
And, oh, yeah.
And Heavenly Father fills in the blanks, and He magnifies that experience to our children. And I remember as our children were growing up, sometimes we'd only done something once, and the children would say, "Remember when we always did this?" And I thought, that's Heavenly Father blessing them with that remembrance because it was right that one time. And then we want to repeat it, knowing that that meant was meaningful to them.
That's so good. That's so good. I love this. So when we start to look at this wonderful outpouring of experiences, I hope that we would always keep in mind what you're mentioning, or what we're all mentioning, is that our Father in Heaven is helping us in this experience. I know of families, I know of even in my own extended family, or as we've traveled throughout the church, individuals who are praying for guidance. I don't know how to solve this problem in my family. What should we do? Seeking for inspiration. Something comes which they might say was coincidental, accidental. I believe actually it was probably inspirational. And then what takes place is out of the blue, they do something and it creates a bond, and then they repeat it and they find that it continues to have this, and instantly, voila, a meaningful, sacred, intentional, perhaps in that vein, opportunity was created, which continues to nurture the family.
You bet.
Yeah, I was reading an article in the BYU Alumni Magazine, just the last one that came out about, and it was an article about anchoring children to their faith. And that was one of the elements that they talk about as being so important in helping children being anchored to their faith, especially teenagers, is traditions and rituals in your family. And I found that to be a very interesting concept, that that has such power to anchor them to their faith, and that it really makes a difference in their lives when they have traditions that they count on and rituals in their family that help anchor them to really what it means to be a member of the Church of Jesus Christ and a follower of Jesus Christ. It's the things they do as a family that, and that's because of the relationships that happen while they're doing those things.
I love the word that you're using there, and that apparently was used in this article, of anchoring. Mm-hmm. Especially in the world that we are living in today, where everything seems like it's in flux and transition. Just like, for example, just when I think that I've got the fashion style down, it changed. Someone forgot to send me the memo. It's like, I mean, will I ever catch up? Because everything is shifting constantly. Everything that was right one day on Tuesday is no longer the right thing on Thursday. And yet I think deep down we all seek that security of being able to know that we're anchored to things that will be lasting. To be honest and true about that, this is one of the reasons I love being a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. It anchors me to things in a shifting world that gives me hope and security to be able to know that some things do not change in the world around us. And so in family life, blowing and shifting and trying to be able to keep things together. I like what you're saying is those anchoring experiences. And I can't help but think of the book of Proverbs. Train up a child in their youth, and they will not depart from the path in their older age. Now, I don't know if this is directly applied, but Gene, when you were speaking about that, I'm thinking family traditions that are meaningful traditions is really training. It is training, and it's training in their youth where they will not depart from those experiences because it becomes part of them.
I just had an example of that yesterday. My daughter walked in the door with her little boys, and she says, "We just started our family scripture study this morning, and we've decided we're going to memorize scripture. These are her first two, and they're not even two yet." And she says, let's learn a phrase, and it's, "I will go, I will do." And they could say go, and they could say do. And I thought, you know, that's something we did in our home, and it happened to be something that she apparently picked up on and is something important to her. And other children have done it. And I think, wow, who would have thought that that would have gone on for another generation? It was something that we worked on and are grateful to see that perpetuated.
I'm interested in that relationship is when you have passing on of family traditions, is the interesting component to that is you have a child who was raised with the family tradition that was meaningful to them, but then you also have a spouse who was raised in different experiences.
Sure.
Any thoughts on that of how that works together? Because some people are saying, well, that's your family. Now it's our family of the process of going through that.
That's true. I think so many times we come together and we think, well, my way's the right way because that's the way we did it in my family, forgetting that there's another element to it. And both have to be on board, of course, to make something like that work. And you take the best from both families mm-hmm. and make it better. And what ends up is better than what you started with.
I think that's great. So taking the best and coming back to this concept of talking over, thinking about together, counseling together to find out what would be right and meaningful for the situation at hand.
Sure.
Our families are all so different. Not one family is like another. And your family, when you marry, is not like where you came from as far as the dynamics often and your personalities and the ages of children and, you know, sexes and everything of children. It all is different. So you can't just assume, okay, it's worked for us, you know, my parents, it's going to work for us now. And being open, especially open to the Spirit. Because if you seek inspiration and revelation and say, help me know what I can do with this child or our family, the Lord blesses those who seek His inspiration. And I know He helps us to find what's right for us.
I agree.
I agree.
100% agree.
That is so true. That's the most important.
It is by far. And that's the beauty of this is while the means may be different with family, the end is always going to be the same. We're all really seeking the same experience. And I will be the first to admit that I'm a gleaner. I am a gleaner. I've done that my whole life. I remember as a youth looking at some marriages and thinking, I like that a lot, and I hope that that happens in my marriage. I remember being at a mall when I was 13 and watching this older couple walking down the mall holding hands and thinking, well, what's their story? They're old. They're holding hands. And then this, I remember specifically thinking, and they're talking to each other. That is the weirdest thing I've ever seen. And I watched them all the way to, I was 13.
Wow.
And yet I remember thinking, I want to be able to hold hands with my spouse and mm-hmm. have a relationship where yeah. we actually talk together when we're in that stage of our lives. And I remember thinking that's what I would like. I had no clue how to get there, that there was going to be a price paid to be able to want to talk to each other when you're in your twilight years, etc. But I was gleaning that from watching individuals. I also glean a lot of things like, I don't want to ever do that. That is yeah. toxic, you know, kind yeah. of a thing. But I like what this concept is of bringing traditions and family experiences from our family growing up, good or ill, and then being able to talk about and counsel and saying what is appropriate and what carries on. I remember when our first Christmas spent together as a married couple, boy, talk about a clash of traditions. I was listening to my wife talk about how you open presents or taking turns, and I'm thinking, you were raised by pagans. Now, let me tell you the right traditions. But then, looking back on it, the beauty of this is we started teasing each other about that and then finding what was the best thing to create meaningful experiences, not just discarding our past because we can't have things come from my family. You know, we have my new family to worry about as much as what is the things that we can glean from and pull in that are appropriate and what other new discoveries are we doing?
How can we build on what was started in our home?
That is such a great idea, is building upon traditions that we have started or that we've seen. And sometimes I'll glean things and I'll twist it a little bit and
sure.
say, I love what they're doing here, but this may work a little bit better for our circumstances with ages, numbers, etc. That's really good.
Which the Spirit's teaching you, of yeah. course, you know.
You know, I'm glad that you say that, and that almost sometimes I worry about when we talk about gospel principles, where we say the Spirit will guide and direct us. We say it so much that it almost becomes almost in a situation where it doesn't have the power anymore. It's, oh, the Spirit this, the Spirit that. But in truth, I think the Spirit comes in wondrous ways and sometimes is so, so seamless in our lives. We don't really realize how much we are being guided by the Spirit, and the inspiration is coming almost at real time.
Gentle nudgings, don't you think?
I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And sometimes I don't think, well, I know I don't, and I'm ashamed of this actually. I don't give enough credit to spiritual promptings and inspiration that's coming where I might think, oh, that was such a great idea. That wasn't mine.
Yeah.
It really
yeah.
wasn't mine when I think yeah. back on it of what a wonderful way that has taken place. So as we talk about traditions, I can't help but think of in a gospel sense is the gospel is deep-seated in traditions, isn't it? I mean, really, when it comes down to it. If, for example, you're to look in the scriptures in the Bible dictionary and you look up – now, this is going to sound odd, so stay with me on this – the word feasts. You look up feasts. You have five columns in the scriptures in the Bible dictionary talking about the feasts of Israel. Now, some might say, what in the world does that have to do with traditions? Actually, the feasts of Israel were traditional events where they would go through and they would have these experiences, and they had a lot of them, a lot of feasts, a lot of opportunities where they'd gather, feasts of the Passover. But it wasn't just time, hey, what's for dinner? They would get together, they would travel great lengths because these were meaningful opportunities to reconnect, revisit, relive the things that made them, well, them in that case.
Defined who they were.
Exactly. And so that was ancient Israel, so to speak. But think about in our LDS traditions, our LDS rituals. What comes to mind of the way that the church is actually bringing us in traditional elements to be able to create this atmosphere of connecting? What comes to mind?
The first three would be, of course, family prayer, family scripture study, family home evening. Those are rich traditions. Are you looking beyond that? I know there's lots more beyond that, but those were the first three.
Well, I am actually happy that you did that. I'm not actually looking for beyond that. I think traditionally, if we were to say, what are the LDS or the church traditions we have, some people would start to say things like, well, sacrament meeting. And our meetings are a tradition. But I am actually grateful that we're starting at the very core, which is where everything should be started, is what happens within our family, that the church is saying, look, there are traditions, and as a church member, we hope you will be doing, like family prayer, family scripture study, and family home evening.
Yesterday, I was talking to my daughter about that very topic. She said, and she didn't know I had to do this today, but it was certainly helpful. She said, we have started an entirely new way of doing our family scripture study beginning January 1st. So they've only been doing it just this week. And she said, it has changed the feeling in our family scripture study.
Oh, great.
And she said, you know, always before we got the children up and we'd gather in the family room and we'd try to read the scriptures and sometimes a little frustrated they weren't paying more attention and whatnot. Her oldest is 9 years old and the youngest is 2. So they're in between that. And she said, we started by getting the older children up. They just came and got in our bed. And we had personal scripture study, my husband and I and these 2 older boys that are reading on their own the Book of Mormon. And she said, you can't believe the love and the feeling. It was like it was magical. We didn't want it to end. And then we got the younger children up and did the family scripture study with all of them together sitting on our bed and hugging children. And she said, nobody wanted to leave. It was the most unbelievable change in our family scripture study.
That is so good.
And she said, but what it really was just this closeness, this relationship, this experience we're having together that we didn't want it to end. And I thought, you know, that can happen in a lot of ways. And if you figure out what it is for your family, that's what you want to have happen with the scripture study so that you're connecting.
That is so good. And I hope that all of us, everyone listening and everyone who is raising families, and by the way, this doesn't mean that you have to have children. There are wonderful experiences where we start traditions within a relationship, within a couple, and those are meaningful experiences. And I'm hoping that in our next episode, we can talk about examples of that in couples, marriages, and within families. But I love how what's taking place here is there's so many wondrous ways. And I love what the church is doing is it's teaching us the importance of traditions by all the things that we're doing, that we should be repeating these experiences, that they should be taking place to be able to create meaningful opportunities and relationships, which I am grateful for. And so I hope that all of us would be considering our own circumstances, the times of life that we are in right now, our families, and that we would start to think of the role of traditions within our circumstances and be intentional in wondering and thinking, how can we improve, and seeking the guidance from others, getting good advice, watching and observing, and allowing the Spirit to work upon us. I appreciate so much your wisdom, your thoughts on this. It's been fun for me to contemplate this. I say this every time we do one of these is I wish we had more time. I wish we had more time. So we're just getting going. And then it's like, wait a second. Now we're out of time. But I hope that we will use our own time to think and contemplate on these things. So thank you very much. You have been listening to The Mormon Channel. This is Gospel Solutions for the Family, brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.